At the Export Exchange 2010 conference, one of our presenters here is Dr. Philip Smith with Tyson Foods. And first of all, Dr. Smith, if you would, tell me a little bit about what you do for Tyson.
I'm a poultry nutritionist with Tyson Foods. I work out of Springdale, Arkansas. I have formulate feed for 14 feed mills that we have. We have about 33. And look and evaluate ingredients, work with the quality control, the feed assays, work with the grow out operations. Also do some research and processing and look at the carcass quality and those yield and all that sort of thing. So those are some of the things I do.
Well, this conference is all about connecting people internationally who may be interested in purchasing with suppliers here in the United States. When you look at DDGs and their value in the livestock sector, especially in yours, in the poultry area, how would you describe what the kind of value that it brings and the benefits then?
Well, I mean, DDGS is of course, a corn byproduct. It has a good bit of protein in it, amino acids, and it is low in lysine. We have to adjust for that, but it has to compete in there with the other ingredients, and it's a very good ingredient for us. We've used it successfully. Basically, the reason we would use a co-product like that is to try to save money in the diet. It formulates in and gives us a good cost value, nutrient value, then handles and works for us, flows and handles, and the birds perform well on it. So we've had good luck with it. It can be used at, you know, up to 15, maybe even higher percent of the diets, and breeder diets even higher possibly. It just fits in those diets better. But in the broiler diets where we use lots of tons, we've had good luck with it.
Well, looking at the fact that we do have these international folks here from many countries that are looking for ways to increase their protein production, what else would you say to them as far as looking at an American product like this as an alternative there?
Well, you know, just get confidence with it. Get some of the material in, try it, start at low inclusion levels and have different ranges to make sure that it works in your operation, you know, that it'll fit in your feeds with the ingredients you have and the performance you expect. So once you get that confidence with it, you can slowly increase the usage or order more, and you get comfortable with an ingredient, you know, and how it handles and flows. You just, and if it saves money, there's that incentive, you know, that risk is worth taking because you feel comfortable with it. And that's what we've done. We've just slowly, even though DDGS isn't really an old from the, not only from the ethanol, but from the beverage industry, and it's been out there a long time, this product is so much more consistent, really, and that's what we're after, the consistency. So once you get comfortable with it, get a consistent product, and make the feed, and your expectations are met, and you get more confidence, you just, there's no issues, really.
Well, I was going to ask if there are any types of concerns maybe even on a regional basis in some countries for, depending on how high of a concentration you might include in your feed.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. You know, how do you? It varies. It probably varies, but you know, they're because of the flow and handling characteristics. Sometimes the pellet quality may be a little lower than you're expecting. So if you get up to that, you know, then you may have to have a thicker dyer and deal with that in the pelleting process. As far as the animal performance, you know, there are things in DDGs that you have to realize. It's low in lysine. It's very good available phosphorus. You know, it's otherwise it's a very good protein and energy source especially with the corn oil in it. So you know, realizing all these things that it's got, you have a good matrix and a good values on it. You can formulate it pretty high inclusion levels. It's just like any other ingredient. It's just coming in, and you know, normally we have corn soy diets here. In other countries, they may have wheat or they may have barley, so they may have a little different type situation. But as long as they can manage that, get the specs right, and have good specs on the ingredients, so the consistency, they can formulate it in with good success. I'm confident of it.
You know, I know there are some regions of the country where there may be some special considerations in terms of how you are using this too, right?
That's true. And you brought up the fact about the xanthophyll, the carotenoid pigments, which if you're looking for a real white chicken, we probably wouldn't be feeding corn to start with. And Distillers does have, you know, xanthophylls and color pigments that could color. It goes in with the fat usually and makes a yellow skin. There's not anything other than aesthetics. Actually, it's a great antioxidant. So in a lot of cases, in egg yolks, you want a yellow egg yolk. And in the United States, many people want a yellow color. That's the sort of one of the things that could cause it. The yellow color could be something that the consumer in that country is used to a wheat-based diet, a lot lighter fat, and wouldn't want distillers at a very high inclusion level in their diet, because it would add a little bit of a yellow pigment into the bird.
All right, well, thank you very much. That's Dr. Philip Smith with Tyson Foods, one of the presenters at the Export Exchange 2010 conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.